Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. It's your girl Sarah and MC Bivens hanging out together. Matthew, my husband, how are you?
I'm doing flantastic.
Flantastic.
I was gonna say,
like,
yeah.
Flan, like the dessert.
Yeah, we had some nice dessert recently.
Yeah, we did. It was a little chocolate oatmeal bar situation.
Yeah,
delicious.
It was so fantastic.
I gotta get something off my chest here. You know how we—
is it a bra?
Not literally. That's a different episode.
Different podcast. This may not be kids friendly.
So you know how we kind of riff a little bit before we get into the topic and we share a little bit about our lives and some of our quirky goofiness. Well, recently Matthew and I had a breakthrough in our relationship, and that had to do with some sharing of some truths and some feelings and some transparency. And it happened the other night in bed. We were lying there about to go to sleep, and I opened up and I told Matthew that I hate this belt of his that he wears all the time.
It's not a bad
and
belt.
And has had it for years. Has had it since I met him. And
so I bet
I
you
don't like it.
Okay,
and,
before
and
you
it was
describe
very freeing
it.
And very liberating to share that with you, because I love so many things about you. It's just this belt that I don't like.
It's not even that bad of a belt. It's an awesome belt.
Okay.
It's a simple belt.
It's a black and white checkered belt.
Yes.
And then with it, you wear a free, like, promotional Scion.
No, not on that belt.
Metal belt buckle.
Not on that one.
No, not on that one?
No, it's just a plain silver one right now.
Okay, well,
it's simple.
It reminds me of what my 16-year-old nephew would wear.
Like, he's
an
fly.
Unsponsored skater boy.
Wow, wow, wow. It's an awesome belt. I love that belt. And I was salty that you didn't like it, and you chose.
You were salty.
Yeah.
I know. So, I was there.
That wasn't cool.
All right. Well, maybe
we won't even go into the things.
We'll have to post a picture of this said belt and maybe take a poll. I have a feeling that a lot of listeners will be on my side.
I highly doubt that.
That's all right. Well, we might have to put that to the test.
I think you may have had a disempowering experience with somebody wearing a black and white checkered belt. That's why you dislike it so much. It's such a simple belt. You wore a black and white outfit last week when we went to Phantom of the Opera.
I just don't like it. Okay.
We're going on a rant. We might just have
agree to disagree.
Yeah. Move along.
Yes. All right. Well, that's just a bit of our lives. You can see where we're at.
You're lucky you're cute.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
All right, so today's episode is a cool one. I think it's going to be a great episode for those of you out there listening who are just now considering home birth. You're kind of curious about it, and you're doing a little bit of research. You might have a few questions about what the actual at-home experience is like. This episode is going to be solid for you because we're going to be talking about an article. I think we've done this once or twice in the past, but I came across an article just like yesterday, I think, on my phone, and I thought it was perfect for us to bring up, and I shared it with Sarah. The article is called 7 Things That Happen After You Give Birth at Home, and it's on the website Romper, romper.com, and we'll put links to the article in the show notes for this episode. And so the article is written by Angela Johnson.
Which immediately had me thinking of the comedian who I love, and she's hysterical.
Angela Johnson.
But it is not her. It is a different Angela Johnson.
I guess there's more than one.
Yes, I would imagine in the world. But we appreciate you, this Angela Johnson, for what you did.
Do.
And we also like the comedian. If you want to ever be on the show to hang out, we can do
that
too.
We can tell
either Angela
pregnancy
Johnson.
Jokes.
That would be hysterical. And Romper is a really cool website. They always have a lot of interesting articles, you know, family, pregnancy, raising kids, motherhood. They also have this really nifty, I guess it's an article, but it's not. It's more like an application from the website that I use often, and it's about viable breast milk. So you basically, it pops up and you say, like, has it been in the freezer or in the fridge? Yes or no? And then it takes you down, you know, a map of if you say yes, then this. If you say no, then this. And I've bookmarked it on my computer just because, you know, sometimes I'm not sure what the status of a certain, you know, if I've pumped and the breast milk, if we can use it or not. So we'll include links to that in the show notes as well, just because it's a fun little thing and it's really useful. And I appreciate someone creating something like that.
Yeah, it's called Is This Breast Milk Still Good? And I'm playing on it now. It's cool. You start off by, it asks you, like, is your breast milk frozen?
Right.
Is it at room temperature? Is it from the refrigerator? And then you click on it. Yeah, it's in the refrigerator. Okay. So has your baby eaten any of it yet? And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, man, we're awesome at tangents today.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll put a link to that, to the romper breast milk, I don't know what
it's
called.
It's useful. I think that was a necessary tangent because I really appreciate it. And so I'm sure there's moms out there who, you know, sleep deprived and not sure, okay, what do I do with this breast milk? Yeah. You know, this can help you out.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Okay.
Back to the article.
Yeah. So 7 things that happen after you give birth at home. What we're going to do is we are going to go through each of those 7 things. We're going to read the thing from the article, and then just kind of talk about it. Talk about what we experienced in those 7 different areas. And I think we have 1 or 2 we're going to add at the end. But yeah, like I said, this is going to be a great episode for you moms and families who are curious about home birth. You may have just begun your research, just started looking into it, and you know, you're just interested in what the experience is like. Like, what are some of the things that home birth parents and families really, really enjoyed about their home birth that are beyond the birth part?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like eating your own food and taking a shower, stuff like that you may not even think about, but were really big pluses.
Yeah.
At least in our case.
Totally.
You know, so, all right, kick it off, babe.
Okay. Number 1 is the birth team cleans up.
Yes.
And, of course, this would be if you... You know, we're
having,
if you're planning a free birth, you know, an unassisted birth, then maybe you want to assign some people to do this. But for this, the purpose of this list, we're talking about, a more
if you have midwives.
Formalized route of a home birth where you would have midwives, doulas, and or any other people helping you out. If you do have those people, they are the ones cleaning up.
Which
you,
is awesome.
After you've just ejected a human from your body, I don't think anyone is expecting you to wash the towels or empty the birthing pool or clean, you know, change the sheets. That is not your job.
But I mean, like, that's a super common question.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, in a hospital, obviously the nurses will clean up. But
right.
At home, like, who the hell's cleaning up? And is it going to be a huge mess? That's another question that's related to this. Like, is there going to be blood and guts all over the floor and the walls and... dripping from the curtains. I mean, like,
The Shining.
You know, but we've talked to moms who kind of have thought, like, was that going to happen? Or the dads?
Mm-hmm,
it's big with the dads, like thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to ruin our sheets or ruin our carpet.
Right. For more on that, please refer to our "Is Home Birth Messy?" episode.
True.
Thank you. Back to your normally scheduled programming.
But I think this is a great first little item because
it's like, I think immediately it takes a huge chunk of like anxiety off, like, oh,
yeah,
okay,
all right,
so what
up.
Else is there to expect, like, now that that's out of my mind?
So your midwives will come, so there's going to be a home birth kit. In your home birth kit, you're going to have all sorts of pads and wipes and stuff, and your midwife or your doulas are going to tell you to collect your towels or go purchase towels, go get, I mean, you're going to be prepared.
Yeah.
You're going to be prepared. And then after your beautiful baby pops into the world, you just are bonding with baby. That's it. You're just focused on bonding with baby. Mom's bonding, dad's bonding, partner's bonding, and the midwives and the team, they're doing all the cleanup, which is beautiful.
Yes.
Number two.
Number two is you enjoy a meal that you actually want.
Oh, yeah.
Not hospital food and green Jell-O. I mean, if you love green Jell-O, then cool, make some green Jell-O. But if that's not your style and you don't want questionable hospital food,
you can cook your own food.
Whatever you want. And you don't have to cook it. Someone else can cook it.
Yeah, someone else will probably cook it. And again, if you have a team, if you've got a team with you, like let's say you've got, you know, your parents or siblings or in-laws or whatever it is who is there with you or there for the home birth, I mean, have them cook some food and you get to eat whatever the hell you want to eat after baby comes. Which, what did you eat afterwards?
I had this big plate of like ground turkey meat and some rice and stuff, and it was great. But initially, even though I knew I was starving, I was all over the place kind of mentally and emotionally, so I didn't really eat that much then. But then like an hour later, one of our friends came over and cooked this like magical concoction, this like vegetable. Lentils. Yeah, it was like this lentil vegetable situation, and it was amazing. I dream about that bowl.
Doesn't happen in a hospital.
Right.
So you get to cook whatever you want. You can have people prepared to bring you food, and just basically you get to eat whatever food. And this is after baby comes, and also while you're, you know, flowing through labor. I mean, you know, you may not want to be scarfing down hamburgers, but if you want to have some fruit or some coconut water or, you know, some whatever, yeah, like you can do that at home because you are the one who's making the choices.
Yeah, that's a huge added benefit to the home birth experience, is being able to eat and drink throughout it because you're not hooked up to anything.
Yeah.
You know, typically in a hospital, they would maybe let you have ice chips or maybe not even that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I didn't eat a whole lot during labor.
I was just about to ask you, what did you eat?
I mean, once we knew we were in active labor, I had half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I remember making that for you.
And then over the next 12 hours, I had just water and a few sips of juice.
Yeah,
because then I ended up vomiting, which was, not the most fun thing ever. But it just didn't appeal to me to eat. But we'll see in the future. Maybe I'll be chowing down on some food in the next.
Maybe like applesauce or, you know, just something. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
yeah,
you know, number two was you get to eat whatever you want, mm-hmm, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Number Trey is Angela Johnson lists it as you get glammed up. And by that, she means like you get to take a shower and like you're in your own space and you can wear your own clothes and whatever. I love it totally for that. I don't know if at the time I necessarily experienced it as being glam, but
well, compared to a hospital gown,
then, yeah, I mean, hell totally yeah, glam, glammed up. Totally glam. I mean, my sweatpants are couture compared to a hospital gown.
I mean, seriously, that's what you're comparing it to. You're comparing it to like, you know, the whatever hospital garb they got for you that day. And, you know, you get to put on whatever you want, what's super comfortable for you. You get to take a shower.
Yep. Oh, my God. And just,
yeah, what was that shower like?
It was amazing. Also a little, like, traumatizing because it was not long after giving birth. And so they do the, like, uterine massage. And so as I stood in the shower, Debbie, our midwife, was like just kind of mushing in my belly.
Oh, that's
and
true.
I was like, what are you doing to me? And then like blood is just like gushing out of me into the shower. But it was amazing to shower. It really was. So it does not take away from how amazing it felt. It's just that uterus massage can get you. But so, yeah, maybe all of that is why when I saw glam, I was like, I don't know about glam, but I hear what you're saying.
If your face just went white hearing that, trust us, home birth is amazing. I'm sure they do uterine massage in other places.
That's what they do to get it back down to size. I mean, anyone who's had a baby and is listening to this, they know what I'm talking about. if you haven't, it's a part of it. It's cool. It would happen anywhere you gave birth.
I guess that's one of those parts of birth that they don't tell you about.
Yeah, and you weren't really aware of that either, because when that was happening to me, you were out of the room
and
stuff.
I was with Maya
doing
stuff.
But it's a very real part of immediate postpartum life, is to massage that area.
All right. Well, number three was just getting glammed up, taking your shower, put on your clothes, and just feeling comfortable. Number four.
Number four, baby gets their first checkup.
Yeah.
Right in your space. So you don't have to go anywhere to get them weighed or measured or checked on, like their heart rate, their pulse, like all that stuff just gets.
All the Apgar stuff.
Yeah, all that happens.
The height, the weight.
Right at the foot of our bed is where it took place.
And I was able to get Maya's weight.
Yeah.
You know, they put her in the little
like
baby
stork
sling thing, and I held her up and got to announce the weight, and that was cool. And it was right there on our bed, right at the foot of the bed, and you were sitting right there.
Yeah, there's
the cord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that happens right there, and that might be surprising to some people, but it's like I bring it back to these are trained professionals. Like, you know, it's not their first time taking a stab at a home birth. You know, like it's
a
lot more
comprehensive,
formalized and like regimented, I guess you could say, than I thought it would be when we were first dealing with our initial feelings and judgments and stereotypes of home birth, to then like now having gone through it, see like there's a lot that gets put into place as far as formalities or logistics are concerned,
and safety.
Yes, absolutely.
Like they take all the necessary precautions that they need. And one of the things that we're going to mention at the very end, the add-ons to this article, has to do with the supplies. And so number five
is you fill out the paperwork. And that's another thing. When we first decided on home birth, I was like, how will she be an official human being? Like, how will she be a citizen? Or will she just be off the grid? Like, how does that work if we have her at home? But by you fill out the paperwork, again, if you're dealing with, you know, a more formalized route of a midwife or a midwifery practice, they're going to have the paperwork and they're probably going to do most of it. I mean, I don't even think I signed anything. But
I don't think so either.
I think she just filled out all the stuff and asked me questions, you know, spelling and things of that sort. And then maybe a week or two later, I got an email from her that I needed to send in like a formal request to the Social Security office or something like that. And then we got Maya's Social Security card. We got her birth certificate. And I mean, super easy. There wasn't any part of the process that was tedious or frustrating.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, when we first made the decision, that was something I was like, how does this happen? How do you make someone an official person? It seemed like it would be really difficult.
Yeah, but no, it was super simple and easy. And Debbie, our midwife, you know, she's done a few hundred of these, so she knew what she was doing. And it was nice to have that sort of like, oh yeah, that's what they're, you know, they've got the paperwork and we just got to sign here. And I think I filled some stuff out.
Okay, that would make some sense. I don't think I saw a sheet of paperwork that day.
I don't remember, but that was number five. Now, number six.
You get a lesson on parenting. And I think by this, Angela is talking about, you know, you have people there to guide you and support you in this process of moving into this new stage of parenthood. So they're going to be there to answer questions, you know, especially if, like in the case of our midwives, they stayed for a few hours.
That's what I've heard most midwives will do.
Yeah, like, they stay for a few hours.
They're staying for a long time after baby comes. Mm-hmm. They come the next day. Mm-hmm. And anyway, continue.
Yeah, so I mean, it's in that time frame that you get so much one-on-one care and attention that it's really like this, you know, it takes a village kind of approach, whereas you know, we haven't had a hospital experience, so I can't speak to it specifically for us, but I know other women or, you know, my sisters who have given birth in a hospital, and you're not always getting that type of one-on-one attention or someone to, you know, help answer the tough questions or the things you might not be clear on. You know, the care is just that much more intimate when you go through the home birth experience.
Yeah, I mean, and these are questions that you may not think about asking when you're at your appointments, but it comes up. I mean, I know for us, the question's about, like, how do we sleep with Maya the very first night?
Yeah, sleeping, nursing, you know the they'll help
questions
you.
Questions about nursing and questions about York, like, can you take a shower?
Right.
Stuff like that. And when do we bathe Maya?
Right,
stuff
right.
Stuff like that. Like, you know, she's got a little gunk on her head. Can we wash her head? And, you know, because Maya had some stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
And what other little questions? I don't know, but temperature is how do we know if she's getting overheated?
Yeah,
you know, and the midwives are so amazing at answering all those little things. telling us more, just little pieces of information that we may not have thought of. And, you know, like I said, they're going to stay with you for hours after your baby is born, make sure everything is amazing and perfect. Then they'll head home for a few hours and they'll come back the next day or the next morning. So, you know, you're getting really great personal attention. That is, they're very present. You know, they aren't having to rush off to another appointment. They aren't on a 15-minute clock, so you got to answer everything in 15 minutes. So that means they're talking super fast. That was one thing. This is another tangent. That was one thing we've experienced at the OB and the pediatrician. They're fitting in a novel's worth of conversation in, you know, 5 minutes. So they talk super darn fast.
I wonder if it's part of their training. Like, you must, hey, you know what? You must learn to give out all of your instructions really quickly.
If it's not intentional, mm-hmm. I imagine it's because they got a full schedule.
It comes with the territory.
It's like, hey, listen, we have four other people waiting in the rooms right now. So I gotta spit this information out fast. Yeah. Whereas, you know, with the midwives, it's typical for you to have an hour with them. Mm-hmm. Where for us, by the end of those appointments, we were just kind of shooting the breeze, mm-hmm. talking about the weather and, you know, whatever with them. So.
Right. That fast talking makes me think of at the end of car commercials or something, like text title included. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like, that's really fast. Like, I wonder if they all meet together and practice together.
Oh, man. Okay. And that brings us to the final one on this list, number 7.
You and your baby get to bond. And that's probably the most awesome one of the list. And I full-heartedly agree. You know, no one is looking to take baby away from you pretty much at any part of the experience when baby first comes out, right on the chest, unless there's any reason to intervene or, you know, remove a cord or whatever. Baby right on the chest and stays there.
Yeah.
And that's the expectation and the plan. And one of the things that the midwives impressed upon us was, look, our job is to really do as little as possible.
Yeah.
And to really just be space holders and facilitators and guides. You know, they really were not all that involved until, you know, the 40 minutes of pushing, and then, you know, in the aftercare, you know, checking on her, checking on me. But like that first hour, that's what everyone talks about, is like the first hour after giving birth is such an important, beautiful, sacred time for, you know, the skin to skin, the smells, the first latch,
yeah.
Like everything. And for that process to be allowed to just do its thing naturally is really amazing and really one of the best parts of home birth. And no one's looking to take baby away to do the tests, to put them in the nursery and then separate you for the night. Like, nothing like that is going to happen at home.
Yeah. You know, I think that was definitely one of my favorite things. So if you haven't heard our home birth story, which is an episode as well, I think it's episode number 9.
You can check that out. Please refer to that episode.
well, Sarah tore. So Sarah delivered Maya on a birth stool. So you were in a seated position. And what happened is Maya came out and I was behind you, and Debbie immediately took Maya and handed her to you. And so you put Maya on your chest,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you kind of caught your breath and, oh my gosh, baby's here. And, you know, the tears, and we're all crying. And then Debbie had you move from the stool onto the bed. And when you moved, like, just blood came out.
And I had no idea.
Yeah,
I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I had no concept of that happening.
So I think Debbie explained later that it wasn't blood from the tear. It may have been the placenta pulling off a little bit.
Something to do with, I think it was like anyway, the way it was detaching. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, the point is they move Sarah to the bed, and Sarah continues to have that bond and that skin to skin with Maya while Debbie and you know, the midwives were suturing you up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would happen in a hospital. I don't know, but I would be very surprised if that type of thing would happen in a hospital.
Yeah,
where
that's pretty. I guess we can't say for sure, but I wouldn't expect it. And if I had heard that would happen, I would be surprised, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. So, you know, even when something small like the tear and the sutures are happening, like, you get to continue that bonding experience, mm-hmm. and like you said, that your baby just gets to be with you. You know, just gets to be with you, smell you, feel the skin, latch on, all that stuff, super beautiful. And I'm happy that Angela Johnson included that in her list. And I think it's a solid list.
Yes, totally.
These are seven great things. So let me read them again real quick for you, and then we'll add ours. Number one, the birth team cleans up. Number two, you enjoy a meal that you actually want. Number three, you get glammed up. Number four, baby gets their first checkup. Number five, you fill out the paperwork. Number six, you get a lesson on parenting. And number seven, you and your baby get to bond. So, Sarah, my love.
Yes.
What do you want to add to this list? What do you want to add to the list of things that happen after you give birth at home?
So, we've probably touched around this general idea in some of the items of the list. But for me, something that was a surprise and something I didn't know to expect with home birth until we were experiencing it was how equipped the midwives come to the experience.
Meaning all the supplies they bring.
All the supplies. Like, each of them had a full duffel bag each. There was like an oxygen tank. And then on top of the birth kit that we ordered, you know, through them, they told us which kit to buy. And then we had it already at the house. Just like all the gear. I didn't have that in my mind when we first started talking about home birth. I would never have guessed that they come with all of that stuff prepared. And then even the day of, I was surprised by it, even though they may have mentioned the things they would bring. And that's something that I think can be helpful to share with concerned or curious friends and family.
Who
are just trying to understand the home birth process better. And, you know, I think it's a nice assurance and a nice just information to share with someone who doesn't have a lot of context for home birth or is weary of it, that it's like there are a lot of measures and precautions taken into place, and there's a lot of things to support the multitude of possible situations arising.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to what you said about all the supplies, like, we purchased our home birth kit, which was, I'd say, a medium-sized moving box.
Yeah.
You know, a nice-sized box, full to the top of supplies.
Oh, yeah.
It included, I mean, all sorts of things, gauze and sterilized things, and the pump for the tub,
mm-hmm.
And the birth or the baby pool that we used
right.
wasn't even in there. So this is like a medium-sized moving box full to the top of supplies. Then on top of that, you know, each one of the midwives, Debbie, Lacey, and Wendy, each brought with them like a legit size duffel bag full of more stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was, that's where the Pitocin was,
right?
That you got.
Thank you. Yeah. Grateful that they gave that. You.
They gave Sarah Pitocin after the tear bleeding. To stop the bleeding. Like you said, there was oxygen masks, and they were like testing everything and making sure, like, you know, as they were setting up, Before the active labor really got started, there was just so much stuff. It was insane. It was like, it was like that scene in The Matrix where they walk into the office building, Neo and Trinity with their duffel bag full of, like, they each have multiple duffel bags and just full of guns. But
our home birth could be compared to The Matrix. But, you know,
I will make all sorts of parallels if I can.
Once again, you impress me.
So we had a Matrix style preparation, but. Yeah, they were just prepared.
Yes.
The thing that I wanted to add, I've already mentioned, this would be, I guess, point number nine, would be just how long the midwives stay, how long they hang out after, you know, your baby comes.
And then follow up.
Yeah, and then the follow up. So, you know, they're there for hours. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure it varies for whatever the midwife or midwife group, what their protocol is. But ours were there for about 4 hours, I would say, all three of them. Just made sure everything was great, everything was perfect, and Maya was perfect, and you were cleaned up and fed, like, everything. And then they left, and then they came back the next morning to check on us. So just that level of attention, you know, you might expect that after baby comes, they say, peace, we'll see you next year. You know, like, but no, I mean, we saw them a lot after. So. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you, Angela, for writing such a great article. We will link, like we said earlier, link this out in the show notes. And
You know? Put Angela's Twitter on there as well. She has a Twitter handle on this article.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'd really like to hear from other moms and families on what they experienced after, like what happened after your home birth, if it was any of these things, if there were some things we didn't talk about, or whatever it is. Definitely want to hear that. So we love your listener emails. We appreciate you so much. You can reach out to us from the website. There's a contact form, diahpodcast.com, or you can just shoot an email directly to hello@diahpodcast.com. We have Instagrams
at
DIAH Podcast, and we just launched our Facebook page yesterday, and that's Doing It at Home, you know, just the page, the Doing It at Home. And so follow us there, follow us on all the things, and, you know, shout out to us, tell us what you think of the show, if you appreciate it, what you want to hear more of, anything. There's pretty much no limits.
Yeah, I mean, the show's for you. Like, the show is for you right now listening, because we wanted to create an empowering and honest resource for moms and families who are considering home birth, who are planning a home birth, who are days or hours away in some cases of having their baby at home. So this is for you. So let us know what topics we can cover. Let us know what people you want us to interview. We have some pretty awesome interviews coming up.
We do. I'm very excited.
We'll share on Facebook who we're going to be interviewing in, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. And so let us know who you want us to talk to, who, you know, what authority and pregnancy and birth and mothering and parenthood do you want us to chat with? And we're super grateful to you for listening.
We are super grateful to you, you, listener. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we will catch you next week.
Peace. Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. Come on, sexy mama. It's podcast time. So weird. Do it.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.